Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we've been talking Tiger Woods quite a bit tonight, and it's been fun. It's nice having Tiger back in our lives in this capacity. Not talking about a dash cam video or back surgery or whatever. We got Tiger Woods, Masters champion, back in our lives. If you're on hold, stay there. I know a lot of you want to talk about this. We'll circle back to it towards the top of the hour. But joining me right now to talk about Tiger Woods' win today at Augusta, the first time in 14 years he's taken home the Masters Championship. Joining me right now, you can get him on Twitter, at MichaelOnTV. Michael Williams of GolfWRX.com joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Michael, the question I've been putting to the audience tonight, who is the bigger winner today, the sport of golf or Tiger Woods?
Wow, that's a really good question. I'm going to say that this is one of those great times where both are equally victorious. I mean, this is 10 years in the making. You know, it was 2009 when Tiger started with his personal troubles, his physical troubles, his trouble with the game, golf yips, problems with his back. Everything you can name have led up to this moment. And for us, all we've had to do is be without him. You know, and I feel that there's so much vindication for this guy. There's so many people who really, you know, sort of just dismissed this guy, and even worse, they disrespected him so much when he was down. To have him ascend to these heights again, which I admit I said on the air into a microphone many times that this would never happen, and now that it's happened, I just hope that he enjoys it as much as I do.
Michael, at what point today did you, in watching him, think, holy crap, this is going to happen?
So I just wrote that article. It'll be posted in a couple of minutes on Golf WRX. It's at the 12th. So I was walking around the back nine at Augusta National with Robert Trent Jones Jr., an acclaimed golf architect himself, but his father, Robert Trent Jones, is the guy who actually designed the course on the back nine the way we know it now. He changed many of the holes, including all the water, installing all the water that's there on the back nine. It wasn't there before until 1948. On the 12th hole, which has just wasted so many people over the years, has just drowned hopes. You can think all the way back to the 50s with Arnold Palmer up to Jordan Spieth a few years ago. When Koepka makes a double bogey there, when Molinari makes a double bogey, and Tiger does exactly what Jack Nicklaus did every Sunday at the Masters, is put that ball in the green 12 in the middle and get that par. That's when I knew we're going to have Tiger Woods as Masters champion. That was the moment that we knew everybody else was crumbling, and Tiger was doing what every other great champion does. He was just avoiding demons so he could slay some dragons. It was an awesome, awesome moment right there at 12 for me.
Michael Williams, GolfWRX.com. So, Michael, you were there, it sounds like.
I was.
What can you take us into the experience of being there for this momentous tournament on a Sunday, Tiger being back, Tiger winning? Was the electricity palpable at the golf course today?
Well, let me correct. I wasn't on the golf course there today. I was there earlier in the week. I was
okay.
There for three days there this week.
And okay.
Even beforehand, there was a sense that something special was going to happen this year. There was always a buzz about this being a historic year for the Masters. There were so many great storylines coming into it. And if you're paying any attention at all, you would see that Tiger was preparing to win a major championship soon anyway, even with him being paired in the final grouping with Molinari, who had just managed to hold him off at Carnoustie, the hardest golf course in the world, by the way. Tiger Woods was ready to win, and if there was ever any major that he was going to win, it's the Masters, because of all his institutional knowledge, his complete comfort on that golf course, and the fact that, let's face it, it does have the weakest field of all the majors. So it was all, to me, it was always going to happen here. And you could see it even on Thursday. When you had this guy walking through, there was a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny that he was carrying that was so reminiscent of the days when he was winning. I think that I wasn't there today, but even at the beginning of the week, you sort of feel that this guy was walking in the steps of history. And I know it sounds sort of trite to say that sort of thing, corny and all that sort of thing, but that's exactly what it felt like. And by the way, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, it felt like that watching it on TV for sure. No question about that. Michael Williams, GolfWRX.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. My contention tonight, Michael, has been that one of the reasons why this is so good for the sport of golf, if this is the Tiger that we're going to get for the foreseeable future, is that he's great, but he's beatable. And the lifeblood of this sport going forward is going to be creating new stars. It becomes easier, I think, in my opinion, for the Dustin Johnsons and Brooks Koepkas and Jordan Spieths of the world to get that profile the sport needs long term if they're paired with and beating Tiger on Sundays. What's your take on Tiger, this version of Tiger, and what he means to the future of golf with some of these other younger guys?
It's interesting that you say that. So Tiger Woods it reminds me of the movies in the Terminator, I guess Terminator 2, when Schwarzenegger, as the original Terminator, which was like unbeatable, has now faced the new and improved Terminator, which is like a crazy good Terminator, even better than him. It's like, oh my God, now I thought I was Terminator. This guy is like serious Terminator. Tiger is having to battle that which he hath wrought. These golf automatons who are on the technology, they're on the track, man. They know all their statistics. And by the way, they play in a fearless manner in the way that he taught them how to play. Now he has to go out and play against all these freaks. And you know what? He's proven once again that no matter what the hardware does, and Father Time is undefeated, it's not going to be like this always. No matter what the hardware is, no matter what the physical capabilities are of Koepka and Johnson and these guys, Tiger's software is unique. His brain power, his mind, his drive, his will, that which has always set him apart is unique. There's only a few people who've been running that software. That's Nicklaus, that's Bobby Jones, it's Ben Hogan. We know who they are. And other people for a couple of years. Tiger's had it for his entire life. So it's going to be great to have the best there ever was playing against guys who grew up trying to be the best that there ever was. If we get it for 2-3 more years, 4-5 more years, whatever we get it for, God bless it. Even if it's just for the rest of this season, to have this guy go out and compete at Bethpage, where he made a historic win, at Pebble Beach, where he made a historic win, and playing the best major championship golf of his life, leading the field in greens hit and regulation, playing the best, I believe, major championship golf in his career, this is going to be fun to watch for this year and the few years to come.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, Michael. Who of those guys that are in that group that you talked about, these golfing cyborgs that are products of the Tiger era, which one? I mean, none of them are going to be Tiger. I think we're only going to see one Tiger Woods ever, but which one do you think is the most likely one to say, when we're having this conversation 10 or 12 years from now, to say that guy took the torch from Tiger and he's become the mantle, the standard bearer for the sport? Who's the most likely, in your opinion?
Honest to God, I don't think we're seeing him right now on tour. Tiger has made lives for these guys. He's made life for them so easy that you can win one tournament, maybe two, one major, and you're set for life. You're making generational wealth. You're done. That's it. You're fine. You're G5 for the rest of your life. G5 airplane, So these guys, to be Tiger Woods, you have to want to be Tiger Woods. I was with Dustin Johnson in Myrtle Beach this year when he was inducted into the Myrtle Beach Golf Hall of Fame. And I asked him, hey, Dustin, Bobby Jones was chasing Walter Hagen and Ben Hogan was chasing Bobby Jones and Arnold Palmer was chasing Hogan and Nicklaus was chasing Palmer and Tiger was chasing Jack. Who are you chasing, brother? How are you going to get to be the guy who's up there on that Rushmore? And Dustin Johnson, you know who he said? He said, I ain't chasing anybody. I just want to go out there and play best golf I can and see how it comes out. That's the attitude of today's player. They want to play the best they can, see how it comes out. Tiger was always, if I don't win, I will probably die. And that was the way that Nicklaus was, all those other guys I just mentioned. I don't see the player out there who has that attitude. Therefore, I don't see the next Tiger Woods out there in this current group of PGA Confessionals.
Really? That's an interesting take. Michael Williams, GolfWRX.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Michael, what did you think of the visual at the end after Tiger won, him walking down that human runway back to the clubhouse with his son Charlie walking right behind him, especially juxtaposed to the video montages that we had seen with Tiger hugging Earl after that first Masters win in 1997. I guess just your thoughts on the emotion of that moment.
Well, I would say that, you know, if you didn't tear up at that moment, you know, have your tear ducts checked, you know. It's like you may be down a pint, man. It was just the whole cycle of life, and but we all feel that. If you get to be old enough, you know, that again, it can seem sort of trite and corny and that sort of thing, but these things happen, and so many times they involve tragedies when you talk about the cycle of life, and this one involved just something historic and something so beautiful with Earl Woods. And life has never been the same for Tiger, by the way, since his father died. I believe that was the moment. It wasn't anything that happened with his wife or any of this other stuff. It was when his father died, who was his beacon. He was his everything. And he really was rudderless without Earl Woods. And to know, for him to realize now that even though he has won this championship and he has ascended, he's done things that nobody thought that he could do, the most important thing is now that he is that rudder for his little boy and his little girl. If you don't get emotion from that one, man, you know, get the paddles, man, because, you know, you might be without a heartbeat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Michael, last question before I let you go, talking to Michael Williams, GolfWRX.com. What's your forecast here for Tiger over the rest of this golfing year? What kind of chances do you give him to continue to close the gap on Jack?
Well, this isn't a sports gambling question, but I think that he's obviously in the mix. He was asked at his press conference, "Well, what does this tell you about your chances of winning the U.S. Open? Are you ready to win majors again?" Yeah, and he said, "I think I'm ready to win majors. I seem to remember having just won one." Yeah, he's there, and there's this severe advantage for him because he is playing courses where he's had success before. On the next two majors, you have you have Bethpage at the PGA Championship, and you have the U.S. Open, both places where he has scored tremendous victories. But he's playing very different this time. Previously, he was overpowering the course and overpowering the field. Now he's playing like Jim Furyk with a turbocharger, which is always what he needed to do: hit lots of fairways, hit lots of greens, and be at least three quarters of the putter in the clutch that he was before. With that in mind, I think that you have to count him amongst the favorites, again, hitting greens, hitting fairways, amongst anybody, on any track right now. I think he's going to be one of the favorites going into any event he steps foot on right now, as long as he's healthy.
Should be a hell of a summer, no doubt about that. Michael Williams, Golf. Yeah, absolutely. GolfWRX.com. You can get him on Twitter, at Michael on TV. Michael, I know it's a busy Sunday for you, man. Really appreciate you making a few minutes. I enjoyed that conversation. Thank you.
Oh, babe, if you were here, you'd be having a celebratory drink with me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.